I'm curious about your meeting with Eisenhower. Can I start with questions, please?
Go ahead.
Thanks. How was the meeting organized? How was the first contact with members of the US government?
The Federation from here, from the High Council, has sent the message to President Eisenhower via imposition of radio frequencies breaking into the Pentagon that was then new in 1947. It was the only way for our contact to be taken as true. You have to keep in mind that back then there was not as much disinformation and pranks as there is now. As a representative of the Federation and with English proficiency, I was proposed as the contact. The first contact was made at the Edwards Base in California on February 18, 1954. No hollow man, Edwards AFB. The reason is that this base has a very large extension of tracks on a large plane. It was later used as an emergency runway for the space shuttle and was far from the public eyes. But we came here as a team in 1952, and from there, some of us, to 1937. Ike Eisenhower was urged to take the strictest security measures to avoid a mishap between our two races if there was an attack on us. Even so, we were heavily armed and in high-tech suits that absorb impacts of kinetic weapons and energy. Ike accepted. On February 18, 1954, first landed the presidential plane. It was not yet a Lockheed Constellation Tetra engine, but a smaller twin-engine Lockheed Electra similar to the one used by Amelia Earhart on her fateful journey. The Electra landed at the end of the furthest runway, and there it remained without anyone leaving. We, from above, in invisible stealth mode, were observing everything from about 300 feet high, AGL, above ground level altitude, contrary to mean sea level, or MSL. There was only one Jeep in sight, with military personnel with rifles, and we asked Ike to radio him away. We also asked him to turn off the radars that were still operating at that moment. They complied. We proceeded to go down and allow them to see our 22-meter Class 3 discoidal ship that we proceeded to land in front of the nose of Ike's Electra. We opened the ramp and the Electra did the same. Ike went down the ramp dressed military in his sand-colored suit with a hat and emblems. I did the same, dressed only in a bluish-gray one-piece suit. They could see that I was not armed. I could not see the same in Ike, but our instrumentation indicated that he was. We arrived about 2 meters from each other and we stopped there. I introduced myself as Rachel of Temer of the High Council and as the person with whom he had been speaking. Ike, very correct in his role as head of state, showed no courtesy to me. He just said, "Cut the crap and tell me what you want." I proposed to him that Taygeta could give him energy and free reactors, as well as electric transmission for all, in exchange for total nuclear disarmament. He just observed me. I insisted that ionizing nuclear power would only bring problems to humanity, and that there were better energy options that we were willing to give them for free in exchange for disarmament. Ike interrupted me strongly and said that he would not, because the Russians would have a high hand against the United States. I insisted that the Russians should also give up all their weapons and technology. Ike just kept interrupting me, insisting that it was just a communist ploy to disarm the United States. I assured him that it was not the case. He did not listen to me and said loudly that the meeting was over. He did some kind of oriental reverence, I don't know its name, lowering his head momentarily. He turned around and entered his plane. I boarded my ship and retreated. End of first meeting. Rachel, thank you very much for sharing. I have a couple of questions, if you don't mind. When he saw you, what face did he have? Was he surprised to see a young girl of Earth appearance?
Yes, I know that had to do with his attitude. And that also caused conflict during the following night contact between February 20th and 21st.
Maybe a Tigetan man had to come out with armor and armed.
In hindsight, that should have been the case. We've thought about it before, and not only thought about it, it is already in the records that it should have happened that way.
Humans like to be impressed.
But you have to keep in mind that if today it is difficult to find someone here who speaks English, on that day it was even more difficult. We understand that Ike gave as an excuse to see us going to see his dentist. I don't have more details about that. Upon arriving at our ship, we immediately discussed what happened and insisted on talking to Ike on the radio for a new interview. We had to threaten him practically. We told him that if he did not listen to us, we would only go with the Russians. On the night of February 20th, in the same place, Edwards Base, the second encounter with him took place and in the same manner. Only that for some reason there were more military personnel in the radar installations and in jeep vehicles on the ground. Our sensors indicated that they were unarmed. Once again he came out, much faster this time, trusting more I suppose. I greeted him the way it is done here, like what you do as a stop sign. Once again I offered him the same as the day before. Ike just replied that there was nothing I could offer him that they did not have. And he accused me of not being extraterrestrial, but of being a Nazi. Because I had been recognized in photos of Germany of the 30s and 40s of the Vril Society. And that I, with my companions, were a Nazi girls hiding in Antarctica. Once more, he just turned around and returned to his plane. I did not see him again. The following encounters were realized by my companions from 1957 to 1960. They were equally brief and useless. Clearly, he had already made an agreement with Maitre beings when they arrived, because Maitre offered them destructive technology in exchange for accessing the human and animal population for their purposes. Maitre said that it was limited and that they would inform the government of any movement, which logically they never did. The technology given by Maitre was only half-hearted, with no key components, which is why there are later reports of experimental ships failing or melting in front of witnesses. They said that they would give those missing components only in exchange for bases, let them build bases. The United States government complied again. For us, and for the Federation at that time, it was already clear that diplomatic means would not work. Contact with the government of the United States was stopped.
Thank you very much for sharing, Rachel. What I would have said to him was, thank you very much, I have a meeting now with the Kremlin. You always have to press a little to get to negotiate with them.
It's basically what we did, so he agrees to the second meeting. During the first encounter,
we detected that inside the Electra plane there were several people, and later we found one of them out to be an agent of the CIA documenting the meeting. That's where the relationship with the Nazi girls came from. The real story and our connection with that, we'll leave it for another time. Not all the girls working for Thule and for Vril Society are us. There were others there who had already channeled toroidal propulsion technology for the Luftwaffe. This is another issue that we must deal with in detail at some point.
Yes, Rachel, no worries. I just want to ask questions about what is shared today.
Go ahead. I must emphasize, though, that the attempt to control Nazi technology on our part is directly related to the failed encounter with Eisenhower, as described above.
I understand. My question is, why the US and not another country, like Russia or Germany or Japan or Great Britain, for example? Thank you.
Because at that time, it was the leader in nuclear weapons field. And because we knew of the presence of German scientists from the Paperclip project. And I think it's clear that the information shared by me today is nowhere to be found. I just want to emphasize that. Much less the connection Vril-Eisenhower.
Thank you, Rachel, again. It's an honor for me to have you share your time with me. And can you specify more that connection, please?
Our failure in the negotiations was mainly due to the Vril incident, by relating us with the Vril and the Nazi hiding in Antarctica. Eisenhower would not take us seriously. We could not explain him our attempt to infiltrate Nazi Germany at the highest level to halt the advancement of its nuclear program and the manufacturing of discoidal spacecraft of the Hanabu type. Discs with which they tried to reach Aldebaran for a supposed relationship between Germany and Sindriel, Aldebaran 1, as the origin of the Aryan race. Sindriel is, until this date, the largest Taygeta colony outside of the Pleiades.
Wow, thanks. The Nazis wanted to contact Taygeta?
They said they were from Sindriel, with another name. They did not say they wanted to contact Taygeta, but with their ancestors to ask for help, since they were already at war. This is because there is phonetic similarity in some Sumerian tablets with the grammatical construction of the ancient or primary German language from which modern German developed. That pointed to Aldebaran. Contrary to what is said, the German Hanabu ships did enter combat against Allied bombers more than once. But they were removed from service because it had already been decided at the highest level that Germany should lose the war, because the same ones were controlling both sides. Among them, the British royalty and Hitler, related to them, as is today Angela Merkel. It's the only reason why the Hanabu were removed. Since then, the Hanabu withdrew to their new bases in Neubabenland, Antarctica, from mid-1944.
Wow, and what fuel did those Hanabu ships use?
I am not sure about the fuel, just about the magnetic engine technology. Zvaru would know.
Rachel, thank you very much again for sharing. In Antarctica, there is a German dissident civilization. Do you know anything about that?
Sure, yes. Neubabenland is still there now, with a high-technology dump. Still there. Reason also why Antarctica is closed to the population in general. It's all theater that you can go there. But it's difficult, and there are only limited coastal and boat tours. It has to be understood that Nazi Germany moved to the US
with the paperclip project. So Neugewabenland is just a one more dump connected to Area 51, S4, Dagway AFB, Ray Patterson, and other places related to super-secret technology of propulsion material and ships. They are not there isolated. Neugewabenland is part of the Cabal and the Controllers, who in the end are the reptiles. Thule and Vril societies are just anterooms to talk to the reptilians. US politicians who have visited Antarctica go to Neugewabenland, exactly there. But this is not known in the normal media. Exclusive for you, in 1947, the Admiral Richard Byrd faced the Nazi Hanebu during the Operation High Jump. Thank you. That dump must be like a big city. It is a huge area that comprises an open area without ice, kept like this by artificial means, and a large 12-level underground complex that includes facilities for ships and also bases for nuclear submarines. Another point here that will be hard for the viewers of your channel to believe is that Area 51 in Nevada, in the desert inland, at the lowest level 7, also has a base for US Navy nuclear submarines. Since Area 51 is administered by the US Navy and officially is a naval base, submarines enter through the entrances of the Santa Monica Bay near Los Angeles. Fascinating. What relationship do Maitreya have with the reptiles? It's a cooperative relationship, but they get along very badly, and it's common for there to be fights with fatal results between them. If ethics are concerned, the Maitreya are even more backward than the reptilians. Even so, they co-depend and tolerate each other as races. What do they eat, the Maitreya? Also humans? Reptiles are carnivores. Maitreya suck lymphatic material and liquidated material from its victims. Both live on lush or energy of fear, but they take advantage of it in a different way. Are victims of Maitreya also human? Yes, the victims of both races are human. What will happen to all of them when the Federation comes down to the surface of the Earth, if that would ever happen? They will be arrested and removed from the planet. Or they would stay in another timeline. Do they have any degree of spirituality higher than the humans? I say this because of their ships. No. Rather, they use tricks in order to avoid spirituality. That is, they use transit through portals. And their movement is limited by their same low frequency, not being able to access many places that would be toxic to them, and that is most of the galaxy. This is also why they need to keep the Earth in low 3D. At what density are they again? From 3D to 4D. For 5D, they need technology to keep themselves in low vibration. The same happens on Mars. But there, they keep their frequency low artificially within their underground bases. Yes, they do come up to the surface, but in a limited way, with suits. Thank you very much, Rachel. I think we are done at this point. If all goes well, we will continue. You are welcome. It was a pleasure working with you. Until next time.